We need some privilege and resource like AMSCO to bring our own audiovisual equipment to Parliament, but that's the also extend the next committee meeting to be in the Centre for Memory Healing and Learning at the second floor of the Castle of Good Hope, where we have all this electronic equipment working. Thank you so much. It gives me huge pleasure to present our 2016-17 report, but before I do that, I have the privilege and honor again to introduce, I'm well supported this time with my board members. Next to me is General Jabu Mbuli, who is the newly appointed Chief of Logistics and also newly appointed Chairperson of the Cargo Control Board. He's with us for a month now, and out of my report you will already hear some of the progress from your BRRR reports that the General, now in his capacity as Chief of Logistics, has brought to the Castle Control Board. Next to the General, you know Adri Achenbach, who is one with Advocate Dave Mitchell, who is also, he's got a double title, Advocate and he's a Chartered Accountant. He's also the Chairperson of our Audit Committee. The two of them, the Minister's appointees on the board. Because the board is appointed constituency-based, like Iziko, Sarah, and all of these cultural organizations appoint, and they are the two ministerial appointees. Chairperson, this morning we don't have the money man here, the CFO. The CFO is writing his last board exams to become a chartered accountant, so we're keeping him in our prayers and hope that he... It's very tough, those exams, but we hope that when he comes here, if we don't lose him between the two presentations, that we have the CFO as a CASA here with us. I think I also, before I start, would say thanks to this committee in particular, through the 350 commemorations. I've seen some of the faces at some of our events, but some of them who were not there have certainly morally supported us during a year that I think we brought a good story to the to the nation. So thanks also for that. The let me kick off then with the presentation, and we'll do it now as you have it in front of you. Normally, you see, I don't send my presentation with all the Kirlan tankies and the beautiful pictures in it because it's too heavy. So now we just stick to this and not to the the image-rich PowerPoint presentation. So let's start with the mandate as introduction, because there's always new members on this esteemed Portfolio Committee Chairperson. We get our mandate from a couple of acts. One as old as 1922, the Defence Endowment Property Act, where the Queen of England bequeathed the castle to military institutions. So it's Defence Endowment Property is different from other property. So it is the custodian of that property then, of the castle, is the Minister of Defence and Military Veterans. Then the Minister of Defence and Military Veterans has promulgated an act called the Castle Management Act, 1993 Castle Management Act, where they transferred that responsible or mandate an organization called the Castle Control Board to manage the castle on behalf of the Minister of Defence and Military Veterans. So the Act is very clear, and I've spoken now about how the board is constituted, but there are also contradictory clauses in the Act, because we are also governed by a constitution of the Republic of South Africa, and then the Public Finance Management Act. So where there are contradictions in the Act, the Minister's legal team is looking at that, so that we strengthen the Act and also then strengthen the mandate of the castle. Out of the Act, Chairperson and Honourable Members, we have essentially three, strategic imperatives or objectives. We have added, in terms of the PFMA, a third one, which deals with good corporate governance and good administration. Our responsibility is to look after the castle as a heritage site, as a museum, and look at the interpretive elements of the castle. Our third mandate is to look at the castle and how do we promote visitors to the castle. The Act says tourists, but we want to also invite tourists of a special kind, because there are some people why not maybe bona fide tourists, the domestic visitors, the school groups, military veteran groups, that we've included in the category of tourists. And the last one is to ensure larger, you know, public accessibility to the castle. I meet people 80 years old, 30 years old, 50 years old, and they say they never thought they could come to the castle. They thought when they came as a kid in a school group and they was locked up in the Donkergat, the Dago, that was the last image of the castle, and they would never return to the castle. So my board, when I was appointed 4 years ago, really emphasized this thing. How do you make the castle accessible to people, psychologically and physically accessible to people? And there are various ways that I will report how we made progress in all of that. Because if you don't feel welcome in a place, there could be big welcome signs, but if you don't feel welcome, you won't enter into that castle. And that's what we definitely have to do. Let me just quickly, on the same slide 3, just say that through these years, we've tried to align all our strategic imperatives in our, you know, programs to national governments, to the national policies, starting with the constitution, starting with all the national imperatives, where it applies to the castle. So we in the past, we will say, but this is not linked to the IDP of this, or this is not linked to the NDP, or this is not linked to the defense review. We have really looked at how do we align all of these policy programs where it's applicable. Then, the penultimate point is probably the most important. Over these years, the castle has never received direct funding from the state or from our mother institution. So we've adopted a strategic position where we say we manage the castle on a heritage enterprise-based, risk-based, so that we ensure that all the risks that surrounding us, whether it's security risk, whether it's image risk, are managed in such a way that we keep the castle sustainable, that we keep the castle afloat, that we keep the castle as a heritage enterprise right up there with the best. And we're not talking South Africa only; we look at world examples. And perhaps if I have time, I will later comment on some of the international liaisons, and that's why we say it's partnerships. Partnerships here, local, whether it's the city of Cape Town, whether it's the Dukes, whether it's other institutions around us, South African Heritage Resources Center. We rely a lot on our partners to do so. And I will later come to the partners in this room, but more specifically some of the other peripheral partners. Then furthermore, Chairperson and members, we have now established a rigorous risk management system in the organization, so that the management identifies, say, a wish list of 15 risks. We put it in a living document, Excel spreadsheet, where we then we rank those risks. We look for it, what is the impact of the risk, what is the likelihood that it will occur, and out of that we kick out our top 5 risks or top 6 risks. We then report, we then feed that into our internal audit. We have an internal auditor. We feed that into the internal audit plan, so the internal auditors, whom we pay every month or every quarter, that they don't come and waste our time and do things that they can do. They will only focus then on those risks. Both of us then report into an audit and risk committee, and that's why I'm glad to have the audit and risk committee chairperson there. We also have now recruited 2 totally independent audit and risk committee members, which we will report on later. And then they report it to the board. The board then say, listen here, the top risk is the security risk or your lack of funding, and they then make sure that message gets through to the executive authority. So there's almost a loop of management to executive authority, how we manage those risks. So that is the strategic content. I don't know if we want to pause there or go through the whole thing quickly, and then we'll come back to the specifics, Chairperson.
No, I'm afraid you're moving very slow.
Okay, I will then, yeah.
Yes, you very soon.
Yeah, okay. thank you, President. For ease of reference, I have taken the highlights and challenges and put it on one slide. The nice ones in green, and in my slide, the challenges in red. I don't know how it come, how it came out. You have black and white, so you can't see. You have black and white. So left and right then. Mamnis is looking at me if I'm talking. If she's colorblind. Okay. So let me quickly go through those bullets. Clean audit again at Jefferson second consecutive year, and we were invited. Glad to say, with only I think another two national state entities and another four departments to the National Audit Clean Audit Award next week and Wednesday on the 18th in Pretoria to receive our, I don't know what they're going to give us. They're going to give something that the general will go and receive that on behalf of us. Whatever, yeah, it is. And then, of course, I thank you about for your contribution to the successful 350 commemoration program. And then, and I know I've reported here, but even that figure, that third bullet, surprises me that over half a billion audience reached us last year through social media, electronic media, TV, radio, and this is measured independently. We don't do it internally anymore. There's an independent Meltwater. Maybe you know Meltwater International is measuring that media impact, the image impact of us. Then we also last year recorded our highest visitor totals, and I'll return to that one. Then almost 200,000. And then we have now an expanded heritage offering in terms of our mandate. You've seen the statues of the four kings. You've seen that maybe some of you have seen the Restitution Garden. I've reported on the Center of Memory Healing and Learning. We have legacy projects, murals that we've that's been rolled out into 72 schools all over the country that depicts the history of the castle in a nice way. So there's a lot of heritage, you know, physical heritage that we've done. That if you were there two years ago, we haven't seen it. If you come here, you will think you're working into another world now with the expansion thereof. Then we've managed to have savings on our maintenance budget. We have now the full complement of staff, very competent team, and with the exception of one of our 18 KPAs, chairperson board members and members, honourable members, we've either exceeded or met all of our other our KPAs. So 17 we've met, only one we haven't met. Then coming to the red side, or to your right hand side, the renovations and tourism activities. I have reported here a year ago that we're not going to close the castle because of the renovations, because the risk of that would be too high. We've weighed up all this. We haven't done it. And it's been very painful sometimes to deal with a 350 commemoration, a GVK contractors on site, and little school kids who want to ride on ponies or want to do this. But I think with the help of Log Division, with the help of, the regiments, with the help of DOD, with the help of the Minister's Office, we could manage that in a proper way, as difficult as it is. And we are now invited all over the place to give inputs of how we do it. Next week we have two platforms where we'll share how we've managed that in a quite challenging year. Then I must highlight this one. On the left-hand side, you see that our visitors almost increased to 200,000. On the right-hand side, you see that our revenue out of these tourists have dropped. And the issue is exactly that. In the 350 year, we had probably about six what we call free access events. So on Heritage Day, on Freedom Day, on the Women's Day, on the 9th of December, so in fact more. So although we have seen footfall increase, there was some displacement because of our program that we ran for 300, the Heritage program that we ran for 350. Then the utilization of the surplus, we have done that in terms of our treasury, what treasury asked us to do. We had at the end of the financial year, we had just over 2 million rand still of that surplus that we should have used up. But we have written again to treasury, and treasury has approved us to also utilize that for very specific programs. But treasury, of course, you know, is very intolerant. Public entities can't make profit, they can't keep surplus, they must surrender it to them. And then if you're lucky, we'll get some of that back. We are very fortunate to have this relationship, open communication to Treasury and the AG, so that they understand that we need access to resources. Then the lack of one precinct management team, we can go into that. I think this Jefferson and members are aware of those challenges, and with General Mbuli's help, we will at least sort out the SANDF, the DoD part of that challenge. Then the security issue, both on the periphery with the Strand Street informal settlers, and then also our own internal, maybe our internal guarding system needs to be checked up. And then we had that 1.7, I can't say Treasury approved, but EA and board approved money that we allocated for 350 that has been flagged by the AG as an irregular expenditure. So it's not unauthorized. It's not, it's not wasteful or fruitless. It is, the AG had to make that comment on it, and they've explained, maybe in SCOPA they've also explained why they had to do it that way. Then, previous years, I have had all of these programs in detail. What I've done, all of these programs are on one page. So I have the four programs. The first one on the left-hand side is governance and administration. The second one is about the showcasing of the history and preservation of the castle. The third one is maximum the tourism potential. And the last one is the increase in public perception. In the next column, I've listed the number of KPAs. And in the middle column, I've said whether we were over, under, or on target. And in the last column, I have put in the mitigation for that. So for that over expenditure, we've put in mitigation circumstances, and I will come to the personnel to speak that again. For the maximizing of tourism revenue where we didn't meet the target, we have rolled out our second phase of our revenue plan. We have also, from the 1st of October, increased our fees from 30 Rand to 50 Rand. The trading hours from 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock, we're already seeing the fruits of that, and in the next maybe I can even chairperson write you a report in terms of the progress of the rollout of phase two of the revenue optimization plan. Then just a summary of the budget on the next bullet, and sorry, on the next page, slide number six, as you have it there. There we just give you, comparatively speaking, how the budget looked the year before, how it looked now, and in the right-hand corner under that, you have a dark dot under that dot there, the over expenditure that I've explained now that the AG is flagging as a irregular expenditure. No, it's the formatting, sir. through you. And then again the other red flag, the revenue generation. I've also put the 2 years together, and what is not explained it properly, and the CFO would have explained it, is that why our estimate is almost double what we collected. The estimate that we have in the third column from your right hand side is not a true reflection. It's simply a factor of the Treasury not wanting us to either over or under budget. So what you see in reflected in that 8.2 is also the amount that we have budgeted to spend on your heritage programs in terms of the surplus. So it's not that we say we're going to earn. We had to put the surplus somewhere because you can't recognize money that you recognized in the previous years. So that is why that's linked to the budget that we've spent. But we will return to that, Chairperson. Then the human resources, there are too many bullets, but I will summarize it for you very, very in very simple terms. In previous years, the board was, probably both by this committee, but especially by the AG, to say why is there not a proper civilian structure in place with the CEO, CFO, and the marketing manager. We've put that in place now, and obviously that will have a direct effect on our human resources costs. The point that is perhaps not so obvious is that before we've put in civilian structure, the CCB was de facto run by soldiers, whose prime mandate was definitely not to run a civilian heritage and a tourism organization like this. So we had about 9 soldiers. Most of them were at the end of their careers, and those who were not at the end of the careers were transferred to their bases where they're supposed to be. So they were costing this, so they were not paid for by these cargo control board didn't pay them. They were paid by Pretoria, by the Defence Force. And when they left, they obviously left with all, with everything. They left with whatever. And so the Castle Control Board had obviously had to dig into their own resources to pay their replacements. Four or five of them retired. One unfortunately passed away, and the other four has been transferred back to Youngsfield or wherever they are. So that's why I think there might be a perception that our salary bill increased, but it's simply because those people were never they were never replaced by civilian paid for post, and so the CCB is now paying currently for that. I think that's I'm trying to summarize a very complex issue in one sentence, but that's what I'm just explaining in that slide to members of the committee. Then in the last in our May engagement, Jefferson, you've commended us to say that if we look at your B, budget review and research review recommendation, we've taken the parts that apply to the CCB and look at your recurring questions and trying to prepare answers for that. So you were asking us about the 350 commemoration. I've already said that with the other partners, and especially the DOD and LOC, we could manage that risk of having a 350 program and renovations and tourists on site. Then with the Castle Control, one castle controlling body, we have met with Ezekiel last Friday, and there's some positive vibes coming out. And the vibe is definitely not that we're kicking them off the site. The vibe is that we look at everybody that's occupying space at the castle must contribute either in kind or to cash to the running of that thing. They can't leave the burden to us and to the tourists. And there's an in-principle agreement for that. We have kept we normally pay them there 1/3 over every quarter. We've kept it back until a new agreement is reached. And we've informed the AG about it. We informed the executive authority about it. And likewise, we hope they also inform their board and their executive authority about it. We're reviewing then the operational agreement between us and Ezekiel. The Buckeyes, Colonel Fenny is the new officer command of the Army Support Base in Youngsfield. We had at least two sessions already, and there's also some positive vibes. Either amalgamate us in the Buckeyes or get a relationship where we don't confuse the clients when they come and they want to do the Buckeyes, but they have spoken to our event manager, then our event manager has to send them to another person because clients don't work like that. In between the CCB office and the Buckeyes, they might just take a corner and say, no, you don't know your story, and walk away. So we're sorting that one out. There's one stop for our clients when they come for events. And Colonel Fenny is very committed to this process. Then the decreasing surplus, I've explained it. A surplus is not supposed to be kept, otherwise Treasury will pouch it. So we've asked Treasury not to take it away, and we have the 2.1 million. So you're not... Sometimes people confuse surplus with savings and with reserves. But at the end of the budget, if you say you've budgeted for 1 million and you didn't spend that 1 million, you have 200,000, you either relinquish to Treasury or you have to apply for that, and we have applied for that. So I'm under the board's guidance, we have done that. There's also the question, now that you don't have the surplus, are the programs going to stop, etc.? And I must say that's why I commended General Mbuli, that chief lock, who is the custodians of the custodians on behalf of the minister, has come to the party to take responsibility for the contributing indirectly to the day-to-day maintenance and preventative maintenance of the castle. And they've already allocated 3 million for this year, and the first 200K has already come out to fix that. Some of you might have picked up the smell of the sewage system there. It's highly compromised. Even though the builders, we've pointed this out to the builders, we need to fix that. Tourists only come for two. When they comment back, they say ooh and ah, but they want warm coffee this winter and a clean toilet. And if we don't get those basic rights, we don't have a world-class heritage site. Then the debt of the previous manager, we have the board, we've recouped some, and we have written off 100K. The revenue generation targets, explained that we have rolled out our second phase of our revenue plan, And so it's a gift shop, the restaurants opening, the kiosk, the increase of our hours and increase of our gate taking, so gate fees, so we are there. Then the 1.7 million, it's disclosed in the annual financial statements, but it was mostly done in the context of the DoD and the DME contributing to the 350, and the managing body can't contribute anything to match that. So we have done that. Then the strategic risk, I think I went through the risk on my first slide. The performance bonuses, let me start by saying that we haven't paid out a single performance bonus yet, because we want, for this year, because we want to settle and to see how we do, because the performance bonus is not an entitlement, even if it's there. And we do the performance reviews, it is subject to board approval, financial availability, etc. So we've also moved most of our staff over to performance contracts, and we've done away in 7 December last year. The board has done away with this Christmas bonus idea where each one gets that, and to switch over into a performance incentive for all staff. I've explained the increased HR cost. We have, and maybe that's where Ms. Achenbach played a critical role. We're now in the process of procuring the service provider will do the thorough integrated conservation management plan. I think we will appoint before the end of the year. It's done through Simonstown, through open tender. So that submission or that document will form the basis for our UNESCO nomination in a year or so. And then CLOC's management of the building I've already reported on. And it's my last slide, Jefferson. Thank you.
Thank you very much. This is Castle Control Board. Very short, straight and to the point. Very comprehensive. What audit opinion did you get?
Squint. Clean. Clean.
I didn't hear you saying that. Honorable members, do you have comments? You normally comment on that one, Honorable Isao. No, it's fine. Question will be a comment too.
Yes. Thank you very much. Honourable Chair, first of all, as you said, that we will commend the CCB and the CEO and his team for the achievements that they've done. That is your clean audit, the 350 years commemoration, it was a special event, and it also had special returns on investment. So I think there's, and also in terms of the targets, KPIs that were set, 17 and 16 were achieved. Only one was underachieved, which was the tourism revenue. So, and most of them, 9 out of the 9, has been exceeded, which is a very good achievement. So I think we want to thank them and the special team that they have that's going the extra mile to actually make it a world-class institution, and that's attracting also the good people. That is one of the strategic objectives. Of course, the concern that we have, I've listened to all the explanations of the surplus. We do understand that in terms of the Treasury regulations, and of course we supported the idea that because it's self-sustainable, that those monies must not be basically put back into Treasury in the fiscus, but it should be rolled over from year to year, because it's an institution that depends on that money to be able to sustain its activities. However, we've seen that the surplus that is there from 13, it's come down to 10 million, it's gone right down to 4 million. So gradually, it's being depleted. And of course, I do understand the balancing and act, and to say that you put it in as extra. The fact is that money was put aside for activities, which was not in the normal budget that has been revenue created by the CCB itself. It was taken from that additional fund that were rolled over. So in the absence of those funds, one could not have done the 350-year commemoration. It wouldn't have been possible. So we do realize that it's important surplus at this stage, and that the issue that arises, although it is mentioned, and there is some mitigation in terms of the optimization or revenue generation strategy. Now, we've spoken about the strategy since the CEO has taken responsibility that will be one of the key issues that he will be driving to of course, mitigate and going to the future if there is no more surplus left, that we have a sound running institution that can manage its own matters. Of course, from the notes taken now, that it is not the case, we'll have to depend on DoD to make some inputs as well. And of course, DoD is already, that's why we've got savings on your maintenance and daily issues, because DoD has invested also and put money in for maintenance, which means there's been savings in that regard. So if it had to be on its own, I don't think that would have been possible. So the concern is that this whole issue of the revenue generation, I think, is it sufficient to say that we have a conference facility with the state of the art? What is the projections on it? Then we say we've got a restaurant which is under new management, a new person. We're out of 100,000. That person never paid. We got a new person involved. We got an issue with Head Buckeyes, the Gouverneur restaurant. And now we're saying that how much do we plan? Or at this moment, what is the rental to the new owners, new guys that are on the block there? I've seen they are new owners. Because I normally go buy coffee or something there. Hot coffee. So I see there's a change in that one. And the third one was, of course, the third issue was there were three revenues that were looked at. I think it's also increasing the tourism, that's the other one, and the attraction to the place. So is it sufficient that we look at the conference facilities and the restaurant? How much money will be generated from there? What is the projection? And if we look at the rental that we're going to charge, how much that contribute actually to the revenue that will be. So if that is a part of it, or is that the revenue generation strategy? Or are there other issues that will have to be considered? Or where will it be expanded, the services that will generate money? Because I only saw the three issues as seen as revenue generating. Of course, the concern we also have is that our CEO is doing a very good job, and the CFO is now going to improve his qualifications to become actually a CA as well. We want to wish him well. But we also concern what is the contract arrangements with Mr. Gil Fallon for how many years is that contract? Because that will also have an impact on what is happening. So a lot of work has been put into it, and I'd like to know where that is going. Okay, and then of course there's a note only made about salaries. At this moment it's at 54.3%. The normal ideal situation is 40-30-30, which means it should be 40 for HR, 30 for ops, for OPEX and for CAPEX. So in this instance it said now we will settle the HR. Now you will settle meaning that it is not settled yet. If we are definite to say this is the staff complement that we will have, this is the cost, and this is the projected cost with increases that we're looking at, then we have a stable environment that we are working towards. But if it is not, you have employed a temporary manager for the 350. If that is a special event, of course we need to budget for a special event and some additional casual staff, etc. So we'd like to know, if we say it's going to be 54.3, if we delete the surplus completely from the equation, then automatically, if funds are less, the HR component becomes much more. So we have to increase the income so that the HR component become less and more money spent on OPEX and CAPEX. So I just want to see that balancing act, if we're going to be able to bring it down and not increase it. It went up from 45, it's now at 54%. The other one is, of course, the autonomy and control over the precinct. Now, that was ongoing. I believe it's now been referred to the Minister's Department to actually execute that process. Now, we don't have any idea of where that process is sitting at this moment, because that was one of the key issues, to say that if we have full control over the facility, we will then be able to manage and do more things and maybe even use it more profitably for the CCB. So we don't know where that process is sitting, actually. And if that that process also spoke to the autonomy of the organization, the CCB, and the schedule of it as a public entity to improve or increase the autonomy and jurisdiction it has. So that was also under discussion, and there were certain amendments being proposed. And I think that forms part of the autonomy and overseeing the whole precinct. The other one is, of course, I appreciate the deployment of the soldiers. That's part of the security and guards there, and that the major has been now appointed to oversee them. If there has been any shortcoming in that respect, I think it's totally unacceptable from soldiers to act in a manner which brings any of our institutions into disrepute. So I'm very happy. Although I've been there now just recently with the festival, and there were some other events, I also noticed that I like the term used by Mr. Gilfallon, the informal settlers. The homeless people, basically, that are camping, actually, right around, against the wall of the castle. And I see not old people, I saw also young people that actually don't stay there. So I believe there's some other activities also taking place. Because normally when you have homeless people, they are also abused in selling drugs and doing other things for others. So I've got a concern that we need to clean up. There was a mention made of a perimeter fencing. Does the perimeter fencing include fencing in the entire castle to keep people basically on the road and not on the verge that is right next to the castle, the grass patches that are open? Does the perimeter fencing want to leave people completely onto the pavement, which is your tarmac, and not to get onto the grass? Because they're even right in front, and they actually bath in daylight in front of everybody. They're into the water right there, in the moat. So I think it is that damages our image of a world-class heritage site. I don't think that's acceptable. And although we've got an issue with the Human Rights Commission and in South Africa that people cannot be put at a shelter if they don't want to be at a shelter, but they can be on the road and do everything, which is public indecent. They can commit so many crimes. They can break into cars. They can do all other things. But you cannot help them to have them in a shelter. So I think we need to speak to our own laws and address those issues. Because this is not even tolerated in the Nordic countries. Nobody's allowed to be on the street. You are taken to a facility and you're taken care of. You're not allowed to be on the street. So I think those things, we probably have to look at the city councils and how the bylaws can accommodate those things so that we can address our issues. But at this moment, it's not good for the heritage of the castle. The other one I want to raise is also the issue. We didn't get finality on that. It was just written off. The manager that owed 100,000. What is the new arrangement with the new management that we have? Okay, and the contract that is signed, how long is that contract valid? And was there a due process that was followed with, in terms of the AGIS report? I didn't pick it up, but I expect, I mean, if it's a clean audit, that all the processes were followed properly. The other one is, yeah, that's what I slipped up, is the gift shop. I spoke about the conference center, I spoke about the restaurant, the high-yield events, but the gift shop as well. What is envisaged to be sold, and what is the possible turnover one could have from a gift shop? Then the performance bonuses, I've listened to the explanation given by our CEO, and also there are two issues raised. If you look at the two page, on the pages, one refers to performance rewards, and other refer to performance bonuses. Are we speaking about the same thing? Are we speaking about something differently? So the issue raised there is also how many people are actually benefiting from it, because there are three categories mentioned, about top management, senior management, and professionals. And I feel from our committee side, we said that we would support the performance bonuses, and it should not only be limited to a few individuals or certain individuals, and it should be also for others that are doing exceptionally well in their jobs. I think that in the BRRR report as well. So if we can just have an understanding, and of course there's a note, a special note made in the annual report to say that it's provisional amounts. Now, we cannot operate with provisional amounts. We knew to know because it's a past report that happened, there had to be a fixed amount and agreed upon or had to be approved by the CCB itself, by the board. So if I see a comment like provisional amounts, then I know what is still outstanding and how much more must be added to this amount or how much must be taken away from this amount. I think we just want some clarity and some certainty about the performance rewards that have been stated in the AR. I think the other one, yeah, I think that covers the two amounts. And of course, then we've got irregular, and irregular was explained. It is taken from the surplus. It is not normal how that follows. So there's no actually irregular. It is actually the money of the institution. It's just the process that is followed that makes it irregular. And I think don't think that in any way undermine the auditing procedures. The other one is the enterprise risk management. Explanation was now given as organizational risk management as well. And of course, the mitigation, and we find the action plans to respond to it. But my understanding is it is still a risk to the institution. No matter if it's a bigger risk or a smaller risk, one has to deal with it. So enterprise risk may be a bit misleading because it's used mostly in the business world. And if we look at the normal institutions, any risk to the institution must be dealt with, although some are more important than others. But it cannot, like, for instance, the homeless people, they are a risk factor. They're not harmful where they're going to attack somebody and going to do something, but it's a risk factor there for the business of the castle and the tourists at the castle. There may just happen an incident which we don't like, and then people are also not attracted to that, and they would discourage others to go because of that. So I just want to say that we have to take that into consideration. Just some detail. I see the traveling has also been quite limited, the amounts for local and for international travel. And from the last reports, we did inquire the CEO's visit to Netherlands and to other places and also to enhance the castle's objectives and to build the international network. If we can have some idea of the trips that were undertaken on behalf of the castle, just to give us also insight, we don't have any idea because normally you add a note, but there was no note added on the traveling. So just to give us some information on that. The DoD's contribution to maintenance, I think we acknowledge that, but it's also an amount stated of if they can contribute 4.5 million per year. Now, I've been part of the committee since 2012. That's when Captain Walker was still in charge of the precinct. Now, I've listened to the argument of 9 soldiers that were paid and they left with the payments. Yes and no. I think there are those that have definitely stayed. And the issue is, I'm just looking at the 9 soldiers at the time. Who were they actually? Where did they work? Because there are others that are working for DOD, that's there on the premises, the 3. The board is still chaired by CLOG, whoever takes the position and is appointed by DOD. I don't recall the amount of money, really, that was allocated, and I think the budget at that time was far less than what it is currently. So nonetheless, that is one of the arguments that we're looking at is if we have the 4.5 million and we're able to raise from our normal revenue 5.5, we got about 10 million, and that would be able to sustain the institution in the absence of a surplus. And that's basically the argument. The issue is we'd love to see that the institution can be used to generate much more money and not only be contented with what we have. We've seen that we have had, an explanation was given, so many more tourists coming in, almost 200,000, but we didn't generate enough revenue because there were some freebies. So we need to work around that. We can have the freebies, and we need to encourage people who are disadvantaged as well to take advantage of the opportunity to be able to be exposed to the castle, the museums, and everything that goes with it. But we also have to manage our budget, that we do not shoot ourselves in the foot and we're not able to manage our own affairs. So I think, Honourable Chair, those are some of the issues that I've raised here that I'd like maybe the department just to respond to. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Honourable Dambuya.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair President. I also would like to concur with the previous speakers in terms of the board on the clean audit. And I think as well as the report, the presentation, that is very, very clear. I've got only two questions on the issue of the acts or policies, misalignment of policies. I just want to check how far is the process. Is it at the earlier stages, or when do we expect to the process to be finalized? And then the other one is around the mitigation processes, where the discipline plan for the guards. So seemingly it is in place, but we would like to, as the committee, I think Chairperson, it would be important for us to just get a copy of it so that we can look at it, we familiarize ourselves on that plan. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, CEO. You have 8 minutes. We're using my watch. It's 12:35.
Let me start with the commercialization. Let me thank you for the questions and for the support and for the commendations, Chairperson and honorable members. The revenue strategy plan is a 110-page document, and it talks about these multiple income streams, which is filming, events, conferences, gate taking, venue rental, restaurant, gift shops, and then miscellaneous advertising rights, etc. Now, obviously with the renovations, we could only roll some out. That's why we say we are in phase two. So there is a very clear plan, and maybe I should answer the enterprise risk approach. The enterprise risk approach is just we're saying that we want this organization to be sustainable, so we mitigate all risks that's undermining the or the propensity of us or the ability of us to execute those things. So we don't focus only on business risk. We focus on all the risks that's undermining our ability to execute our mandate in a cost-effective, efficient, and almost a profitable way. Then I can't speak about my contract, but the board has extended it for another 2 years, three years. So I don't know. CEOs are dispensable; they come and go. So I'll play it. I can't grab my own contract.
So
extended
what? 3 years.
When did you start? 2013. 6 years after you started.
So it's 2013.
2019
then. Yeah, thank you. Settling of HR wasn't because this report reflects on a year before. So by June, July, all of the settling has been done. So this is the staff structure. That's why we could say that if we get 4.5 and we make 4 or 5, 10 million we can run this organization like this. So that's what the settling means. And then the one citadel, one management body. I think I don't think we want the minister to minister to intervene and deal with this. I think there's enough administrative leadership between us, Sarah, Ezekiel, and the military formations on there to resolve this thing. I'm very close to the new OC. So, and the if we don't do it, the general next to me will just put his foot down and say, "You just do it now," because it's not doesn't make sense to run this thing as a. Dave always uses this word as a sectional title. You can't run the oldest building in the country as a sectional title on a sectional title basis. Then I will leave it to the general to speak about the soldiers, but. Just needless to say that we're working very closely now with the city and with the CCDI, the City Improvement District,
yes,
to deal with what I call the informal settlers around us. I'm a humanist. I always I say I was conceived in an informal settlement, so I will always have that. So we've done it in a humane way, and I think as recent as Wednesday, I had a communication with Councillor Bryant about that situation. The perimeter fencing was on the table. It's now temporarily off, but we have now approached the private sector, and we're meeting Clearview and all of these people to come and to say, listen here, the first fort was built here, and it was fortification to keep people out. So let's change it around, and let's see how the private sector, who benefited out of 350 years, can plow back. So we hope to have something resolved in the next 2 months. We're meeting them next week to see what we can do, but all things fail. We will deal with the DOD process also to get the fence off. The fence, of course, is still very controversial because the part on that side used to be C, used to be beach. So you don't really, you know, but we will deal with current land use. The city has given those pieces of land that belong to the city to the castle, so we can do that perimeter fencing now, of course, with the humanity that it deserves. Then the manager, we've appointed the new service provider after open process, and the deal is not to charge them a monthly fee, but to 40% of their, which we share the risk, 40% of the net income, not of the takings, net income, which is we worked it out, which is a much fairer deal than to write off 100 in a year's time. The gift shop is there. The gift shop is going to move to the front because we want to take the people on an emotional ride, and then when they come there, they must buy. And we want a diverse product offering there that excites people, including if the deal with AMSCO goes through, including Castle Water, probably branded for properly. So the idea is not to have quality arts and craft, but to have it linked to the castle or linked to the communities is producing it around the castle. And the idea is to give all people a fair opportunity to trade there and to make something for them. Then performance bonuses, Christmas bonuses, performance incentives. I think sometimes I use it there interchangeably, but two categories. In the past, people were given bonuses. I don't want to call it performance bonuses, but they were Christmas bonuses. They were, and we've stopped that. And we've saying, we migrate you all to performance bonuses. So you don't point to the newly appointed managers. You have performance contracts, that's why you can, but are eligible for power bonuses. We've moved into that system. Even if we have to delay paying a single cent, we will, management, everybody will rather go through that journey, because we think also that the team will be bound better if we all have the same system, because you can't always fix what you've inherited in a right just overnight, and so we're dealing with that. So when we talk about performance bonuses or performance incentives, it's not that it's different. The major categories is where people were getting these 13th check and where people work for the 13th check. The irregular expenditure, we've already commented on that. Enterprise risk management, I've explained. The travel, we've only had two international travels, eh? No, one. Two. Yeah, the one to Ghana and one to Nantes, which was almost 90% sponsored by the friends, their cultural institution that's operating in France. Yes. And we are almost there.
Deficit of 1 minute.
Deficit of 1 minute, okay, I'll move. The DOD and the soldiers, I know the soldiers by name. It's Francois Plaikis, Kaya, Nati Grief, Medicine, Sarita Slavin, all of them retired or they went. So and we've worked out the bill, what it would cost now if all of them had stayed on. Then the question on policy alignment, it's more legislative alignment, where the Castle Management Act and the PFMA and the Constitution, so that process sits in the DOD drafting department, and we just need to nudge them. I was just maybe give the Minister, the Executive Authority, a report to nudge them, because obviously in the rewriting of legislation, that is very low on their on their radar, but with, we can say we have the full support of this committee, and they must push that legislation so that we also deal with the one citadel, one management. And then I'll give over to the general to speak about the discipline of the guard and security.
Sorry, general. You are done, CEO.
Thank you, sir.
You are done.
Yeah,
general, you will respond as you do your closing remarks, but because I wanted to do your closing remarks. Honorable members, I think we have reached the end of receiving our annual performance report. The only report that is outstanding is the report of the DOD. We remember we recommended that they must go and sort it out amongst themselves in terms of the interpretation of the legal opinion from the chief state law advisor. Yeah, and also they have submitted the financial statements of up to 31st of May. We take it those are the financial statements that they should be audited on at the moment. That is our recommendation. Over to you, Chairperson and General.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson and the Honorable Members of the Committee. This was a great opportunity for us to come and present our status in front of the committee and how do we stand. We really appreciate the questions that were raised, and we surely going to look deeper into those issues which we still see as gaps in our environment and possible risks. If I have to talk about the issue of the discipline of the guards, I'm still going to have a meeting with Colonel Feeney, who has just been appointed the ASB commander here in the Western Cape. He was on deployment for quite some time in the DRC. He has just taken the thing over. I was waiting for him to settle a bit so that I can then receive a presentation from him on the status of the castle, specifically over the issue of the discipline of the thing of the castle. I've noticed certain issues myself yesterday, the way they conduct themselves. Because at this current moment, I cannot directly speak to the soldiers themselves. I must first talk to their commander and hear what's the problem here. Where are the soldiers coming from? Are they the reserve force members or a permanent distinct members? So that we can come with a better plan. Because also is this thing, as chairperson of the CCP, in an area like the castle, because there are a lot of international visitors and local visitors, I want to see proper soldiering, the conduct. It should be of high standard by those soldiers the castle. In that, your honorable committee members, I would like to thank you, and I will truly resolve the issue of the SANDF members in the castle. Thank you.
Thank you very much, my general. For a while I felt like I'm in a military base. I am convinced that those soldiers will draw the line now.
Yeah.
Honorable members, tomorrow you'll receive the draft report, the BRR report, this afternoon, so that tomorrow you must add if there are any amendments, add those amendments, so that tomorrow we can adopt. The meeting is adjourned.
Oh, very much.